host, Akakandula Kandepe, also known as Aka. This never gets old, but I'm so grateful I get to do this every time I get a chance. So today's guest is somebody I have been watching for a while. I think I'm always watching. And I think I always get so informative about her work and everything she does. And like one of the few people that I learn from, and because I'm always up for learning. And also, the funny thing is, I'm so happy we get to do this when we get to do it. I'm always thinking it's always at the right time because we kept missing each other. With that being said, I'm going to let her introduce herself though. But with that being said, welcome to today's guest, Siveso. Hi, Siveso.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good. I'm well. Thank you.
Well, finally, we get to do this. And I'm so
finally. I know our schedules have been clashing. And so I'm really happy that we can finally have this conversation. And
yeah,
really
too.
I just want to say thank you for having me, really. It's an honor. I'm humbled. I was very happy and excited when I got your request. And I'm just glad we're able to do this now.
I'm happy and excited too. I know it's been months, but I'm always like, there's a reason why things keep not going our way, but I'm so grateful we get to have you and our community gets to listen to you.
Absolutely.
When you are out networking and meeting new people, how best do you describe yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say authentic and bubbly. So by personality, by my, you know, God-given nature, I'm very bubbly and I'm a people person. And many people don't know this, but I am an ambivert. So I am extroverted, but I'm also introverted. It just depends with the setting. So when I'm networking, that is a part of me that has to be extroverted. So I will unleash that. But in my true authentic self, I am myself. I'll be bubbly. I'll be chatty. I will talk to you as you talk to me. And I'm going to just try and get the most that I can get out of the room. Not necessarily talking to everybody and everybody, but rule number one is talk to the most important people in the room and then you can get out. But yeah, so I'm always authentic and bubbly and just friendly. And that's my networking key.
One thing I love is kind of learning how successful people network. Because it's very interesting that we all have dynamic ways that we want to interact with people and we all get out the most out of it, even if we're doing it differently. So listening to you speak and I'm like, oh, I'm the polar opposite of you. which is great. I need to be a little bit more extroverted.
Okay.
I think that's something I should learn. Please go on.
I was just going to say it's fine. I think you just have to be aware of who you are and you lead with that. If you're an introverted person, you're going to have to learn how to network when you're in a people setting. And if you're extroverted, you're going to just have to use that to your, you know, to your advantage. But of course, with boundaries, because you can't be all over the place and irritating or agitating people just because they're extroverted and you're in a networking setting. So it's taken time for me to somewhat understand my networking style or strategy, but I've always just leaned into who I am, which is friendly, accommodative, chatty, and it's worked for me.
Nice. What has networking done for you? Like when in terms of your career and the work you do?
It's done a lot. I've actually just remembered, I don't think I answered your first question. Introduce yourself. Oh my gosh, but we're here. I'm going to let you have to introduce me. Or should I still do it? Or can we just continue?
Please. No, please introduce yourself. Like how best? Because if you and I have never met at a networking event, so if I would meet you there, how would you introduce yourself?
Okay. My name is Siveso Mofia, and I am a person who is passionate about people, about learning, and about impact. I describe myself as somebody who is bubbly and friendly, but professionally, I'm really just a banker and, you know, what we would term as a media personality in terms of being a public speaker. But all in all, I'm really just a girl with dreams, a go-getter, friendly, accommodative, a bubbly person who really is just passionate about people, about learning and creating a positive impact wherever I go. That's my description.
That's so nice. I'm taking notes for how I describe myself.
Yeah. So when I answer your question, go ahead.
I'm really, every time I get to speak to a guest on the podcast, I'm always like, really, I really don't say much about myself. I'm really at the end of the room eating.
You should.
I'm thinking that's my 2026 goal, and I'm like, also my 2025 goal as well. So, yeah.
I think when you're given an opportunity to talk about yourself, you need to take it with, you know, both hands, grab it. And do yourself justice by not selling yourself short. The opportunity has been given for you, or given to you, and take it. Describe yourself in all your glory. Nobody is gonna cheer for you as much as you can. So it starts with you and then everybody follows suit. But even in your description of yourself, just remember to be you. Don't lie, don't say what is not, you know, authentic to yourself. Be yourself and it will always work, even in your description.
Again, I'm taking notes. Thank you. I will. I definitely think I'm doing better, but I could do more. So yeah, I would do that. Bringing it back to talking about how networking has helped you with your career and some of the work that you do.
Yeah. So it's really worked for me in many, many glorious ways. I will say that my first lesson or my introduction to networking was by one of my very first bosses, and I give her kudos up to now, Miss Musonda Msakanya. She used to be the chief information officer at Standard Chartered when I worked there. And I remember I was what they would term or call her business manager, right? So something leaning towards a chief of staff, right, for the head of department. And that role gave me a lot of exposure to, you know, your senior people in the bank, your exco. And because Standard Chartered was or is a regional bank, I got to interact with many people from across the globe. Who were directly in association with her for work. And I remember this one time, she said to me, I didn't hire you to just be a secretary or an assistant or just somebody who sits at my table to take notes. I hired you here because I think you have a lot of potential and value and you're a smart girl. And most importantly, I need you to make this office work for you. You have access to, you know, decision makers in the bank and in, not only in Zambia, but across the group. So I expect them all to know about you. I expect you to sell yourself to them and I expect you to get your next opportunity by talking to them. So use that to your, you know, to your advantage. And I sat there thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I think I was only like 21 when I got that job. It was quite a senior job, but you know, she gave me a chance. And that was my introduction to networking. I then started to learn from her how she would, you know, liaise and talk to people. It was a big team, so she was always having people coming to her office in and out. And that forced me to also get out of my shell and start to talk to people, right? You can't have, you know, you can't be working with somebody whose office is always in and out with people and you're the grumpy one. So I had to learn very quickly how to talk to people, how to connect with people using, you know, things that could be mutual interests. And I just then started to put myself out there. Little things like volunteering within the bank, little things like taking on a bit more tasks that would expose me to other people. And that's how I started to network. And that, you know, foundation is what I used to build on to different avenues or different things that I do even today. And, you know, I would tell you that now you see me doing work with When Females Lead, with Financial Insights, I'm talking on platforms. I got a lot of that through networking, because by being, you know, relatable and kind and having a conversation with substance and context with somebody, another person then got to refer me to another person and another person and another person. And that's how my network has grown. So that's what I can say about how networking has somewhat opened, you know, doors for me. It's been a lot about being bold and being courageous. Sometimes you just have to, you know, just drive the conversation. There's a lot of, we live in a very digital world now where there's a lot of networking 101 hacks, you know, off social media. If that works for you, go ahead and do it. But we now live in a world, again, where you can't somewhat, you know, achieve by your own. Everybody needs community, and community comes through networking. I'm also realizing now that the higher you go in terms of your career or your achievements, the technical capability is important, but it's also very important to just have a strong network, because that's where the opportunities lie. The next jobs come through recommendations and referrals. So if people don't know you or don't know about you, how then will they be able to refer you? And a lot of that also comes through networking. But I'll lastly say, to avoid me speaking much, when I talk about networking authentically, I think for me what has also worked is that I don't lead with, oh, hi, Aka, you're the CEO of ABCD Bank. Can you give me a job? I'm a firm believer in building relationships first, authentic ones, genuine ones, and then you come to realize the benefits and the perks later. I talk about, you know, my current mentor now, Ms. Ngamelu. I've known her for maybe 6 years. But when we first started, it was really just organic and just work. It's maybe now that I can get to ask her, you know, about an opportunity I've seen and can she put in a word. But we've had to grow the relationship over time. And that's happened with a lot of close mentors that I have, who are also very influential people, you know, not only in Zambia, but across the globe. And that's what networking does. Not to certainly be a user or a person who's just looking for an opportunity to rip off of somebody, but get to know people for who they genuinely are, and you see how people can, you know, put their heads on the line to be able to give you another opportunity or introduce you to their networks, bring you a bit closer to them, and that's how you're going to be able to benefit. I stop there.
I love listening to you speak, because then I really do relate, like, on a very deep level. And like the last part you've ended with, which is get to know people for who they really are. Samuel Sinek always says this, people always be people. So even if we have AI and everything, people will always be people, and they would want to relate with you. They would want it to be deeper than it is. So yeah, I really relate on that level. And just a few things that you said, networking always can't be the grumpy person, true. And your next job opportunity is coming from referrals and your network, which is also true. I've actually realized that most of the work I do, most of the clients I have, are people I have relationships with, like solid relationships. I don't know if I don't know if I've ever gotten an opportunity like from the internet where like I apply for it. It's always like, hey, I loved your work and I liked our interaction. I would like us to work on this. Mm-hmm. Or like somebody asking, like, I would like to work on this project. Or like, I know somebody. And I think that people don't know how deep-rooted that is to having solid relationships that are okay with recommending you. Because sometimes when you recommend somebody, it's not just their technical abilities. Is how are you going to represent me? When you work with these people, because you're going to be a reflection of me and my network, and how is that going to look like? So I think it comes from a place that you say instead of approaching people to say, hey, Sebeso, I heard you are the director of this and that. Could you please find an opportunity for me? It's like, hey, Sebeso, could we have some coffee? What books do you like? I noticed you like this and that. So, yeah, it's really deep-rooted. And I really do appreciate how the depth you've talked about this. And one thing I'm very curious about is how... I know you were at the beginning when female leads started, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's the vision? Like, I'm so interested. Like, in, I don't know if I'm phrasing this question correct, but when you look back to when it started and where you are now, like, has there been a moment everybody, the team there thought, hey, I didn't think we'd get here?
That's a nice question. Firstly, I'm going to answer it by saying you should join. Are you part of When Females Lead? Have you joined our mentorship sessions? I would know because I try and know almost everybody who comes into the programs. Okay, that's a bit of a stretch. I don't really know everybody because now we're hundreds, right? But I do scan through a few, familiar faces. I haven't seen you there, so I'm guessing that's a big no.
Let's have this conversation.
Yeah. To answer you, firstly, you should get onto the programs and then you understand what the vision is. But really, interesting. So it started out as, I can say, a passion project that Mrs. Melu took on. And I'll tell you again that I got that opportunity through networking. One of my very good colleagues and friends, Chimuka Moyovwe, she's now in, doing amazing things in London. We worked together and I remember this one time she phoned me. She's like, I think I've got an opportunity for you and you do great at it. It's on the law, it's A, B, C, and D. You're going to have to do an interview and then let's take it from there. There's only two of us at the moment, so you're going to be the third person. And I'm thinking, what is this project, right? But I then remember having a conversation with Mrs. M and Chimuka, and then that was it, and I think O'Brien. And that was it. It started just among four people. And then 5 years later, it's grown beyond us. I always say When Females Lead is not a one-man project. It's, it's an impactful journey that's going to outlive many of us. It's not one person's, legacy. It's a million people's legacy, all about impact. And so what started out as Mrs. Melu saying, I get to mentor you guys very closely, but I want to mentor other people because I get so many requests on mentorship. Can we try and get maybe 20 girls on Zoom? And from 20 girls, it went to 50 girls on Zoom. From 50, it went to 100 girls. Okay, 150. And it's grown now. I think we're on cohort 12 on the mentorship. So 12 by 5 is what? That's going to give you your number. Sorry, 12 by 50, that's over 600. And then you get onto your STEM, girls. I think we're going on cohort 5 or 6. That's another 50. And then we opened it up, to the older ladies. So it's very wide. And as the years go by, we start to think of how can we remain relevant in solving a problem and providing a solution. The challenge was we want more women to get access to mentors, and that's what it started as. But now, 5 years later, we're taking girls to school to study STEM. 5 years later, we're building clinics and maternity wards so that vulnerable people across, the country have access to basic needs. And that trickles down back to, raising the next generation female. 5 years later, we're doing, programs around sustainability and climate change because that's what is relevant for the future. We're doing, digital and STEM mentorships because that's what's relevant for the future. So I'm trying to tell you that the dream or the journey changes as the years go by, but the core of the organization, which is rising by lifting others, remains. So we're still giving back, we're still impacting, but it's going to keep expanding in the different avenues that we do. But at the core of it is the girl child. How are we, you know, making the girl, or how we're making women rise and do brilliant, brilliant things across the globe, but still remembering to carry others along? I hope I've answered your question.
You have. Quite a few people I know have done, like, When Females Lead. I think I've just never had a point where, how can I put this? Like, I've never been at a point in my life where I'm like, okay, I need a change of scenery. Because, again, it's like an access to mentorship and access to networks and everything. When it comes to that, for me, it's always like, oh, I really want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be very authentic. And also want to keep what I'm doing and manage my life and the current mentors and the current networks I have, because I already know that I'm utilizing that to my full potential. So I think that's the in-between question, because I always see the ads all the time.
I think When Females Lead is an answer to anybody who's looking to break out of their shell in terms of, you know, networking, but also somebody who's just looking to find their identity and their purpose. I'm going to say, and you know, some people are going to kill me for this, it's not your negative feminist movement. You know, I've seen people, I've heard people, oh my gosh, feminists, oh my gosh, whatever. No, it's not, you know, and that's why we have opened it up to anybody. It's not only in Zambia, we get, you know, applications from, you know, different ladies across Africa, even, you know, others in the UK, in the US. That's what a digital village has done for us. So it's open. As long as you fit the criteria, it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to get access to the program, right? But when I speak from, you know, an identity and a purpose perspective, the beauty is you get to hear from people who've already walked this journey, share their story so that you don't get to make the same mistakes. You get to hear from people who would just tell you their story and hope you pick some insight and some inspiration from their story and from their journeys. So you talk about impact, you know, and purpose and identity, but we are also very Christian rooted and grounded. So we also do a lot of reflections from what the Bible and what God says about women. And it stems across. It even falls into, you know, topics around work-life balance, because we value the woman in her role as what she contributes to society, to the home, and to work. So all of those come in different conversations, and it's not just a networking strategy of, oh, I want to just talk to the CEO of what, so I'm going to join When Females Lead. No, it's a very holistic 360 program, which touches on your career, it touches on you as a person, it touches on you and your contribution to different hats that we wear as females, as sisters, friends, parents, moms, wives. It touches on, you know, your financial aspect and independence, all in, you know, a quest to just build a whole woman from head to toe. Do we always, you know, have it all figured out? No. And that's why you get to hear from a lot of women, and I will say a lot of men, who have supported us along the way. There's a lot of male figures, male speakers who come on and, you know, they give their insights from a male perspective, which is absolutely important. So I will say to anybody who's always on the fence of, oh my gosh, is this a feminist program? Is it a one of those who's programs? No, it's not. Just if you're in a journey of, you know, finding identity, finding purpose, finding how you fit in the different hats that you wear, give it a shot, and if it doesn't work for you, you can come back to me and say, hey, it didn't work, but at least you tried, than being a spectator from the outside and assuming for things that you do not know or you haven't experienced.
I like that answer. As a regular on the fence, I would definitely sit down and think about it.
That's fine. That's good.
One thing I noticed is that you like to share about opportunities. You also like to talk about your experiences. And one of my favorites has been the Chevenin one, because you get to talk about how that scholarship is important, what it did for you. What are some of the highlights of your experience there, and how did you get the scholarship and how did you apply for it?
Oh, Chevening is one of my greatest achievements. I'll always hold that very dear. And what a lot of people don't know is that on my first attempt, I didn't get it. And I didn't get it, quote unquote, in that the year was COVID year, 2020. So nobody, okay. So I'll backtrack and say the way Chevening works is there's people who get it immediately. You know, you get a conditional selection, and what that means is you're selected, but you should meet the few more criteria, like have your university, etc., etc., and then you're off. And then the second criteria is reserves, which means if the country gets more funding, they'll then bump up everybody on the reserve list and you can go. The year was 2020, COVID year. Zambia, I think, only had 9 people selected, and there was 11 of us on reserve. Every single year that Chevening has been in existence in Zambia, they've definitely taken all of the reserves. That year, they didn't take anybody. So that was my first year of applying, and I felt the rejection. I was heartbroken and depressed. I was so bummed because I really wanted to leave at the time. I just wanted to, you know, get out. And most importantly, I'm very competitive, and I like to, you know, get opportunities. I don't like losing and I don't like failing, right? But it's something I've come to terms with now as I'm older, because I think when I first applied, I was like 24 or something. And then I was very depressed. I remember I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to apply. And then lo and behold, the second time I said, you know what, I'm going to do it, because I'm going to prove to myself that I deserve this, or rather that I am the best that there is, but also I'm going to prove to whoever is on that selection panel that I am the creme de la creme. And if they don't pick me, that's their problem. And at least I would have proven to myself that I'm worth it. But what that journey did for me, I would tell you that from the word go, the way I prepared for that gave me a lot of self-awareness and introspection. And it set me apart into knowing what I wanted for my life. They ask you questions like, give us examples of how you have been a leader, or your leadership skills, your networking traits, and where your what your career plan is in the short term, medium and long. It takes a lot of honesty and introspection to tell yourself where you want to go, where you don't want to go, and to also identify some of your weak spots in, you know, in your leadership, if or even in your networking. You know, you start to think and pick up on little traits like maybe the imposter syndrome, or, you know, your weak traits on how you relate to people, or some of your weaknesses in leadership. And that is what it did for me, just the process alone. But when I applied the second time, I went in guns blazing, in that, like I said, I was applying for myself to make sure that even if I didn't get it, I would be okay. Because it gave me perspective of who I am as a person, as a young leader, and where I wanted to go for my career. So even if they didn't pick me, I had put in the work to find out where I wanted to go, and it was going to work regardless. And guess what? When you prepare to that extent, another person is going to notice. And that's what happened for me. I remember going into that interview, answering every question. And when I left, when it was done, I phoned my sister and I told her, I'm going to get that scholarship because I did really damn well. And I'm not patting myself in the back. I'm only saying that because I prepared. I remember I was going to study fintech, and at the time, there were very few people I knew who had studied fintech. I remember messaging Comba. I don't know if that was on Instagram. And I said, I'm going to study this course and I need you to prep me. Just bold, just like that. He gave me 2-3 hours of his time on a call, and he explained to me everything that I needed to know. I'll give him kudos for that. I remember having dinner with Lukonga Bongo Hive. And again, same thing. He gave me insights of what I needed to know, what I didn't know. And by the time I was going to that interview, I was set. from a financial market side, a banking side, I think I had conversations with Kabwe, one of my other great mentors, who taught me, you know, a lot about, you know, the economy. I'm giving you these names of these influential people to tell you that I did my research. So I went in with ammunition in that whoever was on that panel, whichever influential person was on that panel, they were going to ask me a question and I was going to answer. And lo and behold, I get into that interview and Lukonga's partner at Bongo Hive is seated on the interview panel. And I'm like, ha, look at God, right? I know exactly what you're going to ask me and I'm going to answer. But it's not to say it wasn't a difficult interview. It was hard. It was really hard. But I gave it my best shot. And I'm trying to say sometimes failure or rejection happens for a reason. And only God knows. I'm very spiritual. A lot of people don't know that because I'm very chill. I come off as very chill and very, I don't know what perception fits spirituality. But the second time when I applied, I got the Chief English Scholarship. Great, happy, I'm going to the UK, happy days. And then 2 weeks later, I get a call from the UK. And it's somebody speaking and saying, oh, I'm calling you from the office of the Mayor of London. We'd like to congratulate you for getting Chief English. We want to tell you that we're giving you another award called the Mansion House, which gives you access to the Mayor of London's residence, and you're going to get mentorship and all of these opportunities. And I'm like, wait, what? Me? How? And they're like, yeah, because you did so great in the interview, you got recommended a second time. So there's very few people who get to be dual scholars, but you're going to be one of them. And, oh, you're the first girl in Zambia, so congratulations. There's only ever been another guy years before you. So I've told you that story to inspire and also to tell you that sometimes you need to trust the process. The first rejection hit me to the core, but it set a very strong foundation for me in terms of ambition and go-getterness that I had to get it the second time. And when it came the second time, it came with even more blessings that I didn't, you know, expect. And when I went to the UK, it was amazing. I had the time of my life. I'm a very firm believer in, you know, work and leisure. So I respect leisure and for me, rest is a big part. Rest and recharging is a big part of who I am. So in as much as I went to study and it was really hard, I remember the time because fintech was just starting and I hadn't done anything around computer science. And now I have to program, I have to code, I have to do machine learning. And then in the banking space, I have to trade in financial markets. It was so much, but I always made time to play. So that was when my genesis, not really genesis, but my love for concerts expanded. I was going to watch Davido. I was going to watch Coldplay. I was going to watch Sam Smith. I had fun, man. And in all of that, I had so much fun. Like, I had fun. I was traveling. I went to Greece. I went to Santorini. Where did I not go in the UK, right? But I had so much fun. And I'm also just trying to say that in all of your go-getter, work hard, remember you're also just a human being and you need to play, especially for young people. Remember that you're still young. So have fun and play. You'll never be this young again. So, yeah, that's a bit of my Chief English journey, my Chief English story. So I will always be an ambassador for Chief English because of what it did for me. It set me apart then and even more so now. Because that is a qualification, or those two, you know, awards are things that will always linger on for me. And they still open doors even now. And then I can only imagine what's coming for me in the future, because I'm definitely not going to stop. I'm going to get a few more awards coming. But I always tell people, just go for it. When I applied, I was going against, you know, so many accomplished people older than me in their 30s, in their 40s. And there was young Sibeso at 26. By the way, I'm only 30, so I'm still young. But that was young me just going for it, you know, believing in myself. And it helped that I had the right support system. So back to networking, the two women I mentioned earlier, they were my referees, you know, Ms. Zinka, Mrs. Melu, Ms. Musakanya, and Mwelwa. Sekunda Financial Insight, you know, founder. Those were my referees, even for Chief English, because they had known me for so many years. They spoke so highly about me. I wasn't in the room, but they gave references, you know, to the British High Commission that worked in my favor. So it still goes back to networking and sponsorship. When people put their neck on the line for you, it must be worth it. Don't let them down. So a lot about chevening. I can go on and on. I will always talk about chevening. I will always go on to mentor, you know, two or three people every year. I try not to stretch myself like that because I believe in the capacity. When I see somebody with potential, I'll pour in as much as I had people pour in me, even in my preparations. I was very lucky to have, I think, three solid people who mentored me through the process. My sister and two other colleagues, and I'm really grateful to them. So for me, that's why I continue to mentor and share opportunities with other people, because I know what it's done for me. And yeah, apply for Chevening next year. You've missed the deadline. It closed last week, but apply for it next year. If you're not going to apply, tell somebody else to apply and they'll benefit. And it's going to change their life for the better. Yeah.
I love listening to you speak. You're so inspiring. Like, you're well articulated. I am here smiling because you're like, I had so much fun, man. I was like, I can tell.
I had so much fun. Oh my gosh. I went to concerts, guys. I went to, like, I was shopping. I was always shopping. I was always going to concerts. I was always eating out. Like, apart from the stress and losing my mind half the time. Oh my gosh. Half the time I was like, I'm going to do this course. It's so hard. I'm dreading this computer coding thing. I don't know what to do. University of YouTube, help me. But it was so hard. But I found ways to detox and you know, just have fun. I made so many friends from different parts of the world. And yeah, when I say I had fun, guys. I had so much fun. And those, for me, are the memories. I've even forgotten about the, you know, the stress of the studying and whatever. But I will remember the times, you know, we had a night out, or we went to lunch out. We went painting, we went pottery classes, we went to watch all these people, concerts and, you know, comedy shows. Those, for me, are the memories that I hold dear. And that's why I would really recommend any other person going through that experience, if they can. It opens your mind. You think differently. You relate differently with people. And it also just makes you realize that there's a whole world out there that we're yet to experience. So don't always box yourself in just this little corner of Zambia. Zambia, love it. It's home. But there's so much to explore out there that you can either bring back to your country as impact, or that you can enjoy and you can share the joy with many other people.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your in-depth fun experience and all the travels and everything. I think it's so inspiring to listen to you speak. And again, like, you have put a smile on my face. So yeah, very easy, but yeah, I don't know if you get it. I would like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Okay, I know this is short and I'm looking forward to our next recording. But a question. Yeah, so, you know, when I looked at you know, your request, and I was like, who's this girl and why is she on this podcast? What's she trying to do? But I'm going to ask it to you now and say, you know, what was the genesis? Why did you start this podcast and what are you trying to achieve and where are you seeing it going? Because you've got all these inspirational people coming onto your platform. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your audience? And where are you taking this thing? It's a beautiful project. It's a beautiful, you know, what's the word? Yeah, I'll call it a project. I don't want to really say project because it feels so technical. But it's a beautiful thing that you've started, because not many people have the guts to actually start podcasts and, you know, try and get people to come on, because you have to somewhat do a lot of convincing to people to sort of, oh, can you talk on my podcast? And da, 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 da. But it's also a space for young people like you that you're venturing into. And I'm asking myself, why did you start this thing? How is it working for you? And where do you see it going?
On my end, I started it because I was so insecure that I had nothing to share with the world. Then I went to the US for a few weeks or months, and I had the best experience. And they were always like, do a smart experiment. Do something, try it out. If it doesn't work out, you could always try it out in a different way. Because I always wanted to start a podcast, like from 2021. And a girl I was with started her podcast, and she's really successful now. And for me, I was just really insecure. And people were like, you're really good at conversation. So when I got the chance to just be in a different environment and be that exposed, I started the podcast. So that's like on my end. For the audience, I always feel like I have the best conversations with people. Random people I meet at the airport, at a restaurant and everything. My friends are really great at conversations. So I was like, I really wish a lot of people would have access to the people I have. Like, I'm really good at conversations. So can I call up people and have conversations with those people? Because I'm always inspired after talking to people. Can I have those conversations? And I hope it inspires somebody like me, someone my age, a youth. So the core is always, how do I help young people reach their full potential? And this is like the genesis of that. And yeah, so this was like the easiest way to get into my vision. Yeah, for the future, it really gets me excited when I think of the things I will get to do. Like, I'll probably next year, hopefully, we get to go video. And honestly, just grow the audience to Africa. I really do have like a global guest, and we really do have conversations. So I'm always thinking, hi, how do I reach more people? How do I get people to listen to these conversations? Because they're really good conversations. I'm always inspired, and people hang out with me. I'm like, I want to hear you talk to me. Well, I want a mentor. And I'm like, well, one of the best ways to get mentored indirectly is listening to podcasts, YouTube videos. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but that's always my thinking around the podcast. It's like my babies, my second baby. So it's like, yeah. And it's so scary as well. Rejection is high because people get to say no. And then people don't really know about my work as much. I don't talk about it as well. That's on me. But yeah, so I like the rejection. It's really good for character development. So on and so forth. So yeah, that's why the podcast is there. Just to get me out of my comfort zone, to inspire people, young people, to reach their full potential, and just to explore and meet new people virtually anyway. So yeah.
Well done to you, and keep going, keep it up. I think it's very inspiring. I saw a quote yesterday which said the best thing that a young person can do is figure out what they want for their life early on. And yeah, it's brilliant. I see that because there's a few older people I know who are really now trying to, you know, find their identity and their purpose. Not to say that time has run out or to say, you know, there's nothing they were doing. Life happens to everybody, right? But the beauty and the opportunity that we have now as young people, especially in this global village, is we can get inspiration from different pockets of life and from pockets of people's journeys. And that gives us a base to be able to find who we are very, very early on and stick to that, or even redirect and renavigate our path as life goes. So yeah, well done to you, and keep it up. And I'm excited to see where your podcast is going to go as it goes global. You know, the sky is no longer the limit, so keep it up.
The starting point. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My last question to you, which is pretty short, is what do you look forward to?
Is this forward to life or in my career or in...
Just in general, what do you look forward to?
This might sound very quirky, but I look forward to just being in a perpetual state of joy and happiness. I am a firm believer in that. And that comes with a regulated nervous system. That means you are able to go through challenges and trials and obstacles. You're also able to enjoy moments of peace, of fun, of happiness. And for me, that's what I'm looking forward to. So now I'm very intentional about it. The people I surround myself with, the opportunities that I take, I'm trying to apply that in like the food I eat and taking care of myself a bit more in terms of self-care. But I really just look forward to being in a very good state of joy, of happiness, of contentment, especially in a world that thrives on, you know, envy and comparison and competition. I look forward to just being in a state of peace, a state of joy, of happiness, of contentment, and waking up with a regulated nervous system and waking up excited every day to do what I love to do and to find my purpose and share that joy along the way with many other people.
Thank you so much. I love that. Very different answer. I think that that's the one question where I really get like really different answers and get to learn about the guests. So I really do appreciate your time and that you made for us today. And yeah, like such a good conversation. I can't wait for the next one because we already know there's a next one.
Absolutely. I'm going to chat to you offline and let's see if we can kill it as soon as possible so that you have both of your podcasts and you can, you know, you can have the content that you want and you can get it out to as many people as you wish.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And I really do appreciate this. And for the people listening, it's so really, I hope you get to share it with other people because I'm leaving excited, inspired, and ready to get out of my comfort zone. So for everybody that's listening, I hope the feeling is mutual or more. Yeah, so with that being said, bye for now.
Bye for now. Thank you.